We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. It's Friday. Yes, hallelujah. And Paul's raising his hands in here. He's all excited about it, too. So anyway, we are glad that you tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. For the next half hour, we're going to be hanging out. Today we are concluding the teaching that we have been doing on Deliver Us from Evil from the Sermon on the Mount in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And I intentionally saved this verse. We'll go back and end up in Matthew chapter 6 as well. But today I want to explain the why. The why is God our deliverer. I mean, I know that he loves us. I know that he wants to deliver us, that he's able to deliver us. And all that we have talked about is all wonderful. It's all great. It's all good. But today I want to reveal to you what I consider the preeminent reason as to why God does everything that he does when it comes to humanity. And so I think it is the theme of the book of Ezekiel, and I'm going to share that with you today. I want to start off by saying thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. In the 30 years I've been in Brevard County, I've come up across a lot of professionals, and one of the things that I find that makes professionals professionals is they know things that other people don't know. And Jits Concrete fits into that category. They know how to, they know the codes, they know the tensile strength of the concrete. I don't even know if that's the appropriate designation for that, but I do know that there are various strengths and hardening factors of concrete. They know what's needed where and why. They know how fast you need to be able to work with the material in the heat and the humidity, and when you can, when you can't. And so in the length of time that I've known them, which is 27 and a half years, I've never known them to be afraid to get up early and go to work all year round in the heat. I mean, when it would be so hot out there, you wouldn't want to be outside for any reason. And they would be out there hitting it because they're here to help other people's dreams come true. And if you don't have the appropriate foundation, then it's going to be a fantasy or a disappointing dream at the very least when it comes crashing down. And so the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, they're here to bless you with their expertise, their experience, and their work ethic so that you don't have crushed dreams at a later time. I can tell you they're honest. They deal with you with integrity, and they've handled big jobs. They've handled small jobs. And so if you can, give them a call if you need block or concrete work done, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So, like I said, we have covered deliverance from stem to stern. I mean, it's been a long journey to get here. And so if anybody asks you, do you believe in deliverance ministry? You can say yes. I believe that God demonstrates in the Word of God that he delivered people from being demon possessed, and we've talked about being delivered from all sorts of things, and that also God wants to use us as an instrument, like we talked about yesterday with King Darius being passionately invested in seeing Daniel delivered and he knew that it was going to take God delivering him. Darius did everything that he could, and then when he ran out of resources, when he ran out of options, he said, I know that your God will deliver you. Was he able to? Yes, he was. And so Darius said, I know that he will deliver you because you believe in him. So there's a, I want you to turn today to Ezekiel, the 13th chapter. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not a long chapter. It's 23 verses, but I want to read it to you, and then we'll highlight this, the reason of why God delivers us. Verse number 1 of Ezekiel 13. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, Thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, The Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar, say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely, when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, Where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it, that is the prophets of Israel, who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart, prophesy against them and say, Thus says the Lord God. Woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for the handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls, they're like birds. I will tear them from your arms. Let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So in this passage, in 23 verses of chapter 13, we have four different occasions where the Lord repeats through the prophet Ezekiel, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Okay, so let's set the stage here for the people that are going to be delivered. The first of all, there was a group of people who were speaking as if they were speaking for the Lord, and yet they were prophesying out of their own heart. Okay, I've said a number of times on the radio program here, there are three spiritual voices. There's God's voice, and you always want to listen to him. There's the devil's voice, and you never want to listen to him. And then the wild card in the equation is our spirit. And if we're not careful, our voice will sound so encouraging that we can mistake it at times for the voice of the Lord and then be perplexed as to why it didn't come to pass. I can tell you that that's possible because it's happened to me. And that's why it's so important to know what the word of the Lord says, because God is never going to tell you to do something that contradicts the word of God. And so when it happened to me, I went back and I reviewed the scriptures and I said, there was my mistake right there. It was right in the word of God. I just, A, either didn't know it, or B, didn't think to apply it to the situation I was in. And that resulted in a train wreck. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to prophesy out of your own spirit. Again, in verse number 3, it says, "Who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." I tell you, it's great to have a vision for your life, but it only really matters if it's a vision from God. You can plan and scheme and plot and all of that, but if it's just coming from you, it's a wish list. And you might be a very driven individual. You might be a very forceful individual. You might even be able to make most of it come to pass, but that still doesn't mean that it was something from the Lord. You and I, we need to have eyes to see what the Lord is doing. It says in verse number 6, "But they hope that the word may be confirmed." Okay. And that's a wishful thinking. Okay. Hope, biblical hope, true biblical hope, is not wishing something comes to pass or hoping against odds that it's going to come to pass. Biblical hope is confident expectation that what God has spoken, it will happen. It will occur. Let me just continue to set the stage here. Verse number 17, it's reiterated that these are people who prophesy out of their own heart. And then when you get down to verse number 18, it describes the attitude that the people had. And that was, they were now treating people, the souls of people, the lives of people, their very existence as prey to be hunted. Not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y. They were actually hunting other people. Now, let me just tell you something. If you think that people who are created in the image of God are somehow objects to be looked down upon, to be vilified, to be hunted, to be tools for your amusement, you're sadly mistaken. Because it's not just you that were created in the image of God. It wasn't just me. It was all God's people. And God intends to have people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation worshiping around the throne room. So that means that there's going to be people with all different skin colors, from all different languages. And so I want to encourage our churches not to be facilitators of a monochromatic worship experience, but that it is an international. It's a generational, a multiple generational experience. Because if we ever get segmented down to, well, you know, I just don't worship there because of that, then we're guilty of sin. God said his house would be a house of prayer for all peoples, for all nations. And so our doors had better be open to people from every background, from every ethnicity. We need to be making sure that we're doing what we can, like I talked about on yesterday's program, to make sure that there are Daniels from every culture that are being delivered, forgiven of their sins by the blood of Jesus, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that they're going to be worshiping around the throne room of heaven. Okay? It said that this society had determined that they were killing people who should not, that God did not intend to die, and they were letting people live, that God had determined that it was time for them to die, that their sin was so egregious that it was time for them to meet their maker. And it said, by your lying to my people who listen to lies. That is the dangerous thing about in the last days, people shall follow deceiving spirits. There are people who are lying, and there are people who are deceived who believe the lies. So those are some of the issues. Verse number 22 also says, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. Yesterday we talked about God delivering us from misery. I believe it was yesterday. Not, it was the day before. And I want you to know that we cannot allow the devil and those that the devil uses to control our emotions. Okay? God says here that there were people who made the heart of the righteous sad, whom God had not made sad, and they had strengthened the hand of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save life. Those are some of the cultural problems that were going on in this society. And God says, because of that, I am going to take action. I am going to act. And he does it in in many different ways. Let me just tell you that four times in verse number 9, in verse number 14, in verse number 21, and again in verse number 23, that the word of the Lord through Ezekiel says the same thing. When I do this, then you shall know that I am the Lord. This is what I'm going to do. I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God does everything he does so that people, covenant people, and those who are not yet walking in covenant, sometimes it is people who are actually oppressing other people. Sometimes it is people who don't even know there is a God. We live in such a confused day and time as far as people that they start off thinking that they're doing ministry for God, and then they come to the place where they don't even know if there is a God. I want you to know God is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and what he wants more than anything, in good times or in bad times, is he wants you and he wants me to know that he is the Lord. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. In his sovereignty, he has given man freedom of choice, and we make bad choices. So God says, because I want you to know me. Can you imagine what a wonderful, wonderful reality that is? Most of the time, people have things that they guard others from ever finding out or ever knowing. And God says, I want you to know me. I am the Lord. He is your Savior. He is your friend. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the healer of your body. He is the lover of your soul. He is your soon coming King. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He wants to reveal himself. In fact, God is so incredible and so beyond measure that the Bible describes that it is going to take all of eternity for him to reveal all there is to know about him, not because of his limitations, because even in our supernatural state, we're still not going to be able to grasp immediately everything there is to know about God. Can you imagine what it was like when Jesus was preaching and the people were sitting there listening to him and hanging on his every word as he broke open the word of God to them to where they could understand just exactly how desperate God is for us to know him. That's the way that I picture eternity, is that he's going to reveal himself to us. And just about the time you think that you know all there is to know, he opens another vein and reveals to you there is so much more. Well, in all of that adversity, he promises the ungodly that he will deliver his people from their hand so that the people who are oppressing them will know that he is God. He just doesn't want you to know. He wants those who are hostile to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that Jesus is Lord. And so I know that there's a lot of people with a lot of different views about the end times. I believe that God is coming to rescue us because he does not want us to experience his wrath, and he is coming to take us out of the way because I believe the church is a hindrance to the devil's strategy. I think that's by design. I know the Holy Spirit actively ministering on the earth is a hindrance to the devil's plan and design. And I don't believe that God punishes the righteous the same way that he punishes or disciplines the unrighteous. I believe that he made a way of escape for Noah. He made a way of escape for Lot. He's going to make a way of escape for us. And in doing so, by him taking the people of God and delivering them from ungodly hands, he does it in such a way that Egypt, that Babylon, that the Medes and the Persians, the Romans, the you name it, whatever oppressive group in history, that God does it so supernaturally that even the oppressors have to stand back and say, he is God. The Roman centurion at Jesus' crucifixion, surely this is the Son of God. Jesus wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver me because he wants people to know that he is God. I pray that in the latter part of 2020 here, the last half, that you will come to know God even more than you've come to know him already. And I pray that you know him really, really well. So let me take you back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Jesus instructs us. He instructed the disciples, pray, God, deliver us from the evil one. May he change our hearts so that we never long for the ungodly desires that Satan would try and plant in our path. May he change our hearts so that we long, desire, crave the good things of God. May he deliver you for the glory of God. May he deliver you body and soul and spirit. May he deliver you from affliction. May he deliver you from ungodly mandates like he did for Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. May he deliver you and I from every ungodly attack. And may he deliver us so that all of the people surrounding us, our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, that even the unbelievers in that group would stand and say, God is the Lord. Isn't that what we're here for? I know that God wants us to have a great life, but we're here to populate heaven. We're here to plunder the population of hell. I don't want my worst enemy going there, and I certainly don't want my family or my friends going there. I want all to come to repentance. And God, as we just talked about today, he says, everything I do is so that when it's all said and done, everybody's going to know that I'm God, and beside me, there is no equal. There is no one else who can compare. And he wants us to know him. He says, pray, deliver us from the evil one. If God wasn't going to answer that prayer, he sure wouldn't have put that in the Word of God as a promise. So I encourage you, look up, look up. May God deliver you from misery this weekend and fill you with the joy of the Lord, to such an extent that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I pray this weekend that you and everybody you meet will know that God is Lord. We'll see you Monday as we break into a new study right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Me.